This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And hello, everybody. It is Tom Chenault. It's Adrian Chenault, and we have got a show for you today. I am texting people crazy because we need to have some people watch this show because it is serious, and we've got the three strongest guys in the profession. One of the craziest human beings I've ever met in my life is Kevin Thompson because he's fearless. I was with him on a stage in Amsterdam once, and this guy stood in front of some people that I just still cannot believe to this day what a brave man Kevin Thompson is. His partner, Kevin Grimes, is here. Smart, smart guy. Understands the FTC. Understands all that stuff. And has the heart for kids and orphanages the size of a basketball. I love him. And then we got Dooley. And he is in a classification of his own. He is like a multi-level marketing bounty hunter. And he just goes after wrongs in the profession. And this is the three perfect guys to talk about what's happening in Washington, D.C. and everywhere else. How you doing, Adrian?
I'm good. I feel like fireworks are coming, so I'm excited for the show.
They really are. And, you know, I've been on a bunch of calls and a bunch of podcasts and a lot coming up to this call because people are excited about it. And I keep telling them that everything's under attack right now, man. And if you're going to protect yourself, you need people like these three guys right here to tell you where the black and white is so you can stay out of trouble. So I'm going to open it up with Kevin Grimes because he's kind of the guy that caught my eye when Kevin Thompson was on this unbelievable vacation and poor Kevin Grimes was just working his fingers to the bone and really got some eyeballs, really paying attention to what's going on at the FTC. So Kevin, take it away. Kevin Grimes, take it away. Tell people what's happening and why it's so important that we get into agreement about how to save this profession.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's great to be with you guys. On July 1st, so not even a month ago, the FTC dropped a bomb and announced some new proposed rulemaking. But among other things, it included dusting off an old weapon, an enforcement tool that it had not used since the early 80s called the Penalty Offense Authority. But in addition to that, this wasn't part of their July 1st announcement, but as I was doing research, actually something that preceded the Penalty Offense Authority was the day before, TINA, Truth in Advertising, delivered a letter to the Federal Trade Commission advocating for the resurrection of the Penalty Offense Authority. But in addition, they named 660 MLM companies that are doing business here in the U.S. saying that, hey, you need to put these companies on notice. They have a long and rich tradition of making improper income claims and improper product claims. But as I did some research, my question was, well, what in the world precipitated that? I mean, other than, Tina's lifelong heartburn with the profession. And I discovered an article that was written in October of last year by one of the FTC commissioners and Samuel Levine, who's now the director of the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection. And in this article, they were advocating for the resurrection of the Penalty Offense Authority. And then subsequent to that and prior, there have been a lot of really significant events that have been happening this year. In April of this year, the FTC suffered a massive loss in the U.S. Supreme Court regarding its ability to bring enforcement actions and obtain certain sanctions under Section 13B. Well, in a 9-0 unanimous decision against the FTC, the agency got its head handed to it when the entire Supreme Court said no. You can't do that. And so, interestingly, in February, Mr. Levine gave an interview. And in that interview, one of the things that he discussed was that the agency is targeting the MLM industry as one of its top five targets, specifically in the arenas of income claims and product claims. And so then, again, fast forward to July 1st with the announcement of the resurrection of the Penalty Offense Authority. And here we are. And this, not to sound melodramatic and not to, you know, I don't want anyone to think we're engaging in fear mongering. We just want to present an accurate picture of the current regulatory landscape. But the penalty offense authority is a game changer. The sky is not falling. It's absolutely not the end of the profession by any measure. But this is a weapon in the FTC's arsenal. I would argue probably the most effective weapon it has. And the industry and all the players in the industry need to sit up and take notice.
Kevin, can you share which companies where this has been used against them in the past?
Well, like I said, to the best of my knowledge, it hasn't been used against any MLM companies. It's not so much about going after individual companies. That's what their old 13B strategy, I affectionately call it the silver bullet one-shot judicial assassination litigation strategy. But that's more like the, Troy, you'd appreciate this as a Marine. That's like using, you know, a 50 caliber sniper rifle, you know, single shot, bolt action, one at a time. With a penalty offense authority, the FTC can pursue entire industries at one time. So hundreds of companies if they want to. So to answer your question about an example, back in the early 80s, a lot, you know, bamboo was, you know, kind of becoming the hot thing in fabrics, and a lot of companies were ostensibly arguing bamboo fiber products, but in fact, a lot of them weren't bamboo. They were rayon. And so the FTC initiated an enforcement action and administratively, you know, addressed one company and, you know, then declared, hey, you know, making bamboo fabric claims for a non-bamboo product obviously is a deceptive practice. The point of that was to, you know, get the industry to change its ways. Not all the players were doing that, but a lot of them were. And most of them didn't change their ways. And so the FTC deployed the penalty offense authority and went after some of them and just put the hurt on them.
So what do you guys think of this? I mean, Kevin and Troy, I mean, you guys, what do we do? I see Donna Maria Saratella here. She's a compliance queen. I see Richard Brooks watching. What do we do? Do we lock arms and just raise the integrity to such a level that we're policing ourselves and not getting policed by them? Or what's the company owners? What's the solution?
It's uncharted territory, and I think the tone that KG is trying to strike here is the right one, in that it's not the sky is falling, it's you hope for the best, you prepare for the worst. And by preparing for the worst, we have to assume that the FTC is as unreasonable as they seem. And time again, they surprise us. And so I think we have to assume that they're going to do whatever they can to exercise as much power as humanly possible to put down companies with minimal expenditure. I use stronger language than my partner Kevin and with Troy. I think it's pitiful. I think the FTC should be humiliated, and I think the new chairwoman should take steps to rehabilitate the reputation of the FTC. I'm not seeing that. It cannot be understated how humiliating it was for them to lose, not 6-3. You can't blame this on a partisan vote in the Supreme Court. It was unanimous, which the Supreme Court, you have to understand, for Sotomayor to agree with Clarence Thomas, that's a big deal. And the Supreme Court said the FTC has been abusing its power since the 1980s. And Chopra, in the paper that KG's researched and written about and he's talking about, he basically blamed a Republican in the 80s for this strategy of suing companies and says, actually, you know what? We don't need to do this. We have this other tool in the toolkit. And he dug in there and he found this penalty offense authority. And I'd like to think that the FTC will engage with more discussion with the marketplace, get feedback, you know, open things up for public comment about ways to regulate. I don't think they're going to do that. So I think the right attitude is, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. That being said, the good news is, and I could be wrong, but what I see, the FTC does seem to be shifting its attention to more meaningful matters. Meaning, this new commissioner, she's 32 years old, which is very young, obviously, but they picked her because she's hyper-focused on big tech. And that is more than enough on the FTC's plate. Right, they're focusing on Amazon, on privacy issues with Facebook, on Google, on things that change the structure of the economy. Personally, I don't know if this new commissioner, she's never even said the words network marketing. I don't think she cares. And in the grand scheme of things, why should she? When you're trying to regulate Amazon, do you really care about a company selling skincare products? So I'd like to think the FTC is going to prioritize and sort of let the marketplace deal with scams and bad companies. But again, that would assume that we're dealing with reasonable people over there. And who knows? We'll know a lot more when they use this power the first time. And right now, we just don't have the experience to know. There has been a case, the case that KG referenced with Bamboo, and they did say network marketing would be a good candidate for penalty offense authority powers. But we haven't seen them fire the gun yet.
Let me ask a question on that, gentlemen. If we want to define MLM, network marketing, direct sales, does that not include a broad spectrum of companies from financial services to real estate? I mean, how do you niche this down to define that if you're a regulator?
Well, how many of these companies make income claims, Troy?
Okay. So that's what we would look at is those that make the income claims themselves.
Well, that's what the FTC has said, and I'd like to offer maybe a counterpoint to what KT just said. You know, with respect to, and I don't disagree with anything he said about the current chairwoman's perspectives and priorities. But on the other hand, we do have Commissioner Chopra, you know, one FTC commissioner, as well as the, you know, Samuel Levine, the director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, specifically say this is one of our top five targets. MLM, and specifically income claims and product claims, is one of our top five targets. So, yeah, again, I appreciate that the chair ultimately calls the shots, but we have to understand that the worker bees have a lot of latitude in the decisions that they get to make. Second point, I would argue, and, you know, I'd love to hear your input, that there is quite a bit of institutional frustration within the FTC regarding the entire, not the entire profession, but regarding certain aspects of MLM, specifically income claims, product claims, as well as, you know, compensation plan design and the need for customers. And, you know, for example, over the last 26 years, what the FTC has done with respect to the issue of MLM compensation plans and, you know, slowly, you know, articulating some need for an emphasis on customers, customer acquisition, customer sales, to where we are today in 2021, where they're saying, hey, this is an absolutely hard and fast rule, and you know, with the federal courts chiming in as well. So, again, my sense is there's quite a bit of frustration within the interior of the FTC regarding our profession.
All right, let's take a break so we stay on track, so we actually can have this thing on 550 radio stations on the Genesis Communication Network, who are sponsoring this show. So God bless them. We'll be back right after this. We got Grimes, we've got Thompson, we've got Dooley, Chenault, and Chenault. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to NobleLift lithium-ion-powered forklifts. With a NobleLift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a five-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. NobleLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NobleLiftNA.com/save.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
It's the Network Marketing Leadership Show, and we got the fearsome threesome along with the not-so-fearsome twosome. So my name is Tom Chenault, Adrian Chenault, sponsored by ContactMapping.com. But we've got three guys here with some brains, and it is Kevin Grimes, it is Kevin Thompson, and it is the one and only Troy Dewey. And this is important stuff. I'm telling all of us, we have got to band together, and it can't be through a pea shooter called the ANMP. The MLMIA, the new Patriot deal, whatever that thing's called. It can't be through that. We've got to get bigger than that and make some noise, because I'm telling you what, it's coming, and we've got to be ready for it and ready to like unite and fight back with a lot of people talking about this isn't right. So that's why I wanted to do this show today. So, Kevin, you were talking when I went to the break. Go ahead and pick it back up, and let's go.
There's two Kevins.
Yeah, which one?
KG, I'm going to pick up on what you were saying earlier. Kevin was talking about, sorry, my light keeps going in and out, sort of the FTC's frustration with the profession. And I agree with that. The thing that frustrates me is that it seems to be a moving standard. So in my opinion, the FTC's had a problem with the space for quite a while. And they signaled that they want to see more retail sales. That was the main feature. Yep. That really distinguished legitimate network marketing companies from pyramid schemes. Pyramid schemes have very low retail sales, if any, and it's mainly a lot of internal consumption, a lot of recruiting. Okay? And the FTC made it clear, we want to see customers. To a little refresher here, they had a big settlement with Herbalife and basically said Herbalife was operating as a pyramid scheme. The chairwoman famously said, I'm not saying they're not a pyramid scheme, and had certain conditions for Herbalife to operate with to continue. One of those conditions was 66% retail. And Herbalife did it, and they've grown, which is a sign that they weren't a pyramid scheme, candidly, my opinion. They weren't coding customers properly before the settlement, and then after the settlement, they started coding them better, and they're doing fine, and they're doing it with a court-appointed monitor. So it's not the honor system here. People are auditing their numbers. Then you look at So they want to see retail. Companies are starting to show retail. Look at Naora. Naora had 60% of the volume registered customers, customers that were on the grid, that were preferred customers. They still got sued. And I think that's the FTC's way of trying a new strategy to put down companies, because companies in our space are getting better at aggregating and coding customers. And so now the FTC is thinking, okay, well, how are we going to do it now? And they made up some sort of weird standard regarding pay plans. All of this to say, it's frustrating, and it's what we get paid to do, Kevin Grimes and myself, to make sense of this. But we're seeing mixed signals. As far as what, you know, the FTC won't specifically say, this is what we want to see. This is a good, we want to see, you know, 50% retail. This is the structure of the plan. And candidly, they really can't, because they can't make the law. But the point is, the standards, it's just a little loose. And so now, Kevin Grimes used the analogy of the Death Star. The Death Star blew up, just like in Star Wars, very unlikely shot. Their ability to put down companies without there even being a hearing, which, by the way, is pretty pathetic. And we all knew it was unfair. Everybody knew it was unfair for the FTC to shut down companies without even a notice. It's just the way things were, and we went along with it. It was BS. Right, BK Barreco Avima was not a flight risk. Okay, he had five kids in Arizona. He's not going to run off with the money. It was absurd. And Death Star is blown up. And so in Star Wars, what do? They build another Death Star. So this is just the FTC's attempt to try to maintain power. We got to see it in use. We got to see how it works. I'm not sure.
Okay, so we talk about the FTC. Tom asked the question, how do we self-police ourselves? We have income claims going out of this world by companies who's also regulated by the CFTC or the SEC. In your guys' opinion, can we even self-regulate if from the ownership down, they're also giving the FTC or any other regulator the burden, saying we'll just roll the dice and play the game? I mean, are we going to see a complete split where we have legit companies building databases of customers, and they come out with a feasibility study like AdvoCare that said, hey, we can still make enough net profits, we don't need the network marketing arm because we got all of these customers? Or, I mean, this is a convoluted mess, and I don't know how we clean it up. How do you guys see cleaning it up from the company side? I mean, we know the regulator's there, but how do we self-police this thing?
So the good news about Troy Dealey is he's been my partner in the radio business for how long, Troy? 20 years?
And something like that, long time.
Great job. So he asked a very tough question going into a break. Here we go. We're going to take a break right after this, and we're going to come back. This is a hard break. We can't take it. If I could, you know, so we're going to go to a little commercial. Might talk about contactmapping.com a little bit, but we'll be back right after this. It is the Network Marketing Leadership Show.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The Senate convened a rare weekend session on Saturday with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer encouraging the authors of a bipartisan infrastructure plan to finish writing their bill so that senators can begin offering amendments.
MyPillow CEO and fervent Donald Trump supporter Mike Lindell says he's pulling all of his advertisements from Fox News after the network refused to run a spot for his cyber symposium, which he claims will provide enough proof of industrial-scale election fraud to propel the former president back into office.
Then we're going to bring it as a quo warranto to the Supreme Court. It's going to be 9-0. They're going to take this election down. And yes, Donald Trump will be your president. He is your president now.
The Cyber Symposium is set to overtake Sioux Falls on August 10th through the 12th. This is USA Radio News. Republicans in the U.S. House are pushing the Biden administration to disclose how many illegal immigrants who cross at the U.S. southern border are being tested for COVID-19 by the Department of Homeland Security, as vaccinated Americans are being told to wear masks indoors. Tensions are escalating between Israel and Iran. Mike Fortier has more.
Two Israeli officials tell the New York Times Iran flew unmanned drones into an oil tanker managed by an Israeli company Thursday night off the coast of Oman. Two crew members from Great Britain and Romania killed. Iran's state-owned TV cite sources saying the attack was in response to a strike reportedly by Israel in Syria last week. This is the first time civilians have been killed in incidents between Iran and Israel in recent months. The U.S. Defense Department says officials investigating the attack conclude multiple drones were involved. The U.S., though, not publicly blaming Iran for the attack, and Iran not publicly claiming responsibility. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
It's Tom Chenault. It is Troy Dooley, the question asker, Kevin Thompson, Kevin Grimes, Adrian Chenault, and this has been a great show. This is a long segment. We're trying to get down to brass tacks to give you guys a roadmap as to how to keep yourself and your company in business, because these are times when people are trying to get your data and do what they can to put you out of business, and we don't want that happening to you. And these guys are the guys to help us get guided through it. So back to you, Troy Dooley. Kind of ask that question a shorter one, like less than 12 minutes.
So how do we self-police ourselves when sometimes the company owners themselves don't seem to care? And on the other hand, you've got company owners that say, we don't really need the network, we have enough customers, and our net profits won't change. How do we get this to where we're all working together instead of working with different agendas?
Yeah.
KG, you want to take it?
Okay. Well, Richard Brook did a Facebook Live on July 10th, and I watched it twice. It was so good. And I took a lot of notes. And he said, one of his first comments out of the box, he said, you know, Troy, people who get an MLM are not well trained. And he was talking about compliance issues, you know, not sales issues, not marketing issues, not recruiting, but when they're not well trained with respect to compliance. And so the question, part of the answer to your question is, how can we be self-policing? Well, how can anybody police anything if they don't know what the law is? And Richard, I thought Richard did a superb job just talking about the industry and largely its wholesale failure to train people about the legal and regulatory aspects that are directly relevant to their business. You know, is the area of income claims relevant to any type of MLM business? I think so. But not only that, you know, it is super, super low-hanging fruit. And what I mean by that, and this is a shock, you know, Richard made the comment that you can't make any claims at all. Well, that's not true, and I, you know, respectfully disagree. You can't absolutely make claims. The key is to learn how to properly make claims. And so, you know, so we kind of have these two polar extremes in our profession. On the one hand, say anything you want, and on the other hand, don't say anything at all. And I kind of analogize this to playing football. I don't care if you're, you know, last year's Super Bowl champions. If you're confined to playing in a 10-foot by 10-foot square, you won't even be competitive with a junior high school team. In football, we have a very, very large piece of real estate. It's 120 feet wide, 360 feet long with the end zones. It has very clearly defined boundaries. You cannot operate outside of those boundaries ever. But within those boundaries, this is where I'm coming from, and I know KT and you and everybody, you know, on this call or show shares this paradigm. Let's teach our people how to take advantage of every available square inch of the playing field, and let's teach them every single legitimate play that can be made. Now, there are lots of things that can happen inside the playing field that are illegal, okay, and the people need to are against the rules, and they need to learn what those are. But again, it's really unfortunate that the coaches, that the executive leaders in our profession simply have failed the profession in terms of teaching and empowering distributors to know what they need to know so that they can be self-policing, but also so that they can hold the company accountable. It's like, hey, I don't think we're doing this income thing right, or hey, you haven't provided us with any substantiation for some of these amazing product claims.
But then people get terminated. Or on the other hand, you've got company owners. We talked about this before the show started. They know the rules, so they take it offshore thinking, hey, we can go as long as we can before we get hit. So we've either got ethical people or we just got some unethical people in this business. And if we want to self-police it, we got to be able to do that. But I don't see a way of doing it. We can call out companies all day long. But when you've got the DSA who says, wait a minute, companies can't be held responsible for what their reps say, and we're sitting here saying, yes, you should be, it just seems to be the reps don't know what, and where do they go to get the answer when the company doesn't want to give them the answer?
Now, didn't Richard Brook do some sort of association that was going to be driven by education, and the buy-in and the funding was going to be by the companies? Wasn't there some? Is that a good idea? To have these companies all kick in a bunch of dough for lobbying, but also kick in a bunch of dough where they all lock arms and have a standard of integrity and excellence that they all agree to and abide by. And then you've got these goofballs out here making all these crazy claims on trading or whatever it is, that all of a sudden they get kicked off the island because they can't belong to the cool club kids, whatever that's called, just because they can't live inside of the ethics that the other company owners decided should drive the bus. Is that something that's possible, you guys, or not? Or did that even make any sense?
I'm very skeptical, cranky when it comes to associations, only because they can be infiltrated by bad companies, similar to what happened to the ANMP. It's not hard for a bad company to pretend to be good.
Yeah.
By locking arms with an association. Richard's concept was sort of a good seal of approval type badge if a company exuded certain behaviors. But that's sort of the point of the DSA, right? They have a code of ethics, and membership is hard to come by, and they lobby. That's their point. For me, I obsess on what I can control. and the sort of advice that I can give clients and what KG is saying, it's really important for individual companies to do their absolute best to train their people. First and foremost, that's where it needs to start. Now, as far as, you know, the expression is, you know, clean up your bed before you go out and change the weather and solve climate change, you know, get your own house in order. So I think in years past and even today, I always said that the companies that try to do things properly are at a competitive disadvantage because the companies that cheat get away with it. In most cases, some cases, the bad guys get caught, not every case. And so if you're trying to do things right, it's sort of a disadvantage. And so sort of the thinking of owners in this space, whether they say it or they don't say it, is that they want to sort of run with the herd of gazelles, and every now and then one gets eaten. And that's just the way it is. Now, things might change under this new penalty offense authority if it does what we think it might do. Not only can the FTC recover, you know, disgorgement of profits, meaning if you make $100, you have to give up $100, they can actually punish people.
Right.
And I think that would be a pretty strong deterrent to make people, you know, sober up. Not only are their earnings at risk, their entire net worth is at risk.
Right. Can I ask you a question on that? If this is so powerful, if the penalty offense authority is so powerful, do you think that if they play that game, that an industry, whether it's ours or someone else's, would then sue the FTC back to say, no, you don't have the authority to do this?
I hope so. But I'm not smart enough to anticipate the legal argument, but something feels off about that, how they can essentially put an industry on notice through a newsletter blast, let's say, and then go after people without serious due process considerations. Maybe they can. And I say that I didn't anticipate the way 13B went down. I just always assumed the FTC had this power to shut down companies without a hearing. Well, if you look at the statute, it says, you know, the FTC can get an injunction, period. Well, it took some creative lawyers to say, well, it says nothing about money, and they challenged it all the way to the Supreme Court. So to answer your question, somebody's going to push back. And I imagine whoever those early companies that get popped, they're going to be the ones that push back, and we'll see what comes out of it.
Okay, let me ask another question a little different. In the TINA letter to the FTC, there was an actual kudo that said, we have noticed that income claims have gone down in the network marketing profession, and they honed in on product claims. And this is coming out of 2020. We saw how many letters came from the FTC. Are the product claims maybe more of a focal point right now than even the income claims to the FTC?
Ted, you want to take that?
I think they're both huge issues. Is one larger than the other? I don't know. You know, in the mind of the FTC, I think they're both just huge. And again, they're easy scalps for the FTC. They're low hanging fruit. And I think, you know, so many people speak in terms of, you know, well, we just need to rise up in arms and we need to, you know, oppose the FTC. It's like, well, I think opposing deceptive income claims or, you know, opposing deceptive product claims is going to be an uphill battle, okay? You know, the FTC is doing what they're supposed to do in terms of, you know, cleaning up the marketplace from deception, all right? That's part of their mandate. You know, what we need to do as a profession is we need to take a really honest assessment of, you know, hey, are we making deceptive income claims? Are we making deceptive product claims? These are probably the two most counterintuitive areas in the profession that the vast majority of people don't understand. For example, if I take, you know, product X and I really did have cancer, I've got the lab test to prove it, and 3 months ago, and I started taking this product and I changed nothing about my diet, nothing about my life, and now I'm cancer-free and I got the lab test to prove that, I don't understand why I can't share that truthful information with people. And the answer is because it's not substantiated, you know, and we talk about what substantiation is. It, you know, when we talk about safety and efficacy claims for products, they have to be substantiated by competent and reliable scientific evidence. My experience is merely anecdotal evidence. That doesn't you know, pass muster. It doesn't sustain the burden of proof with respect to product claim. It may be true, okay? Maybe the product really did cure my cancer, but it's my claim is not substantiated. And the problem with income claims is, again, if I really do make $2,000 a month with my company and I've got, you know, copies of my checks, I've got bank statements, I got 1099s to prove it. Gosh, I don't understand why I can't make this truthful, substantiated income claim. And the answer is because it's deceptive. There are three different attributes that are required for any type of advertising or promotional activity to be legal. And they are, you know, truthful, substantiated, and non-deceptive. The problem with income claims is that all income claims, save for one category that nobody makes, all income claims are deceptive, period, and it's from a regulatory perspective, okay? Because when I say I make $2,000 a month, it leads the reasonable and prudent prospect to believe everybody in the company makes $2,000 a month, or most people make $2,000 a month, or it's easy to make $2,000 a month, none of which are true, and hence the deception. So, again, we're not going to win the battle on, hey, we should be able to make completely unsubstantiated product claims. We're not going to win the battle. We should be able to make deceptive income claims. We need to understand, and we need to teach people what is a deceptive income claim. We need to teach them what is an unsubstantiated product claim, and then we need to teach them how to do things properly. So the cure for deceptive income claims is a proper income disclosure statement. And lots of companies, to KT's points, and to Troy's point too, the industry has gotten so much better in the last 20 years about developing proper income disclosure statements and disseminating them, at least at the corporate level.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back right after this. It's the Network Marketing Leadership Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale. Oh, no, whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Final segment with the boys, and I am so honored that they got on this show with us, because these guys are the cream of the crop of integrity and courage in standing up and telling us all what we need to hear. And Donna Maria Saratella, or whatever her name is, that is a very compliant, great woman that I know you guys all know. But we've got to get these minds together, and it might be under Richard Brooks' umbrella. It might just be a giant think tank. But we've got to band together and not shoot inward anymore, and just basically make sure that we're getting the, you know, I think about a company that I know of that's a very, very good company that's getting decimated by scumbags. In fact, I know two companies that are getting decimated by those scumbags, because those guys get to make the income claims and these two companies that I'm talking about don't. So those people, their hands are tied by their integrity and their company's ethics. And these guys out here doing all that crazy stuff get to just hammer these people, acting like they're making all this money in their sleep. And it's just wrong. We've got to stop that so the good guys win. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, let me say something on that, Tommy. I don't think it's company ethics. I don't think a company can have ethics. I think we need to, that's part of our problem. We look at big tech, we look at government. We need to nail this down to the individuals and say it's these individuals. I mean, I don't mind calling out names. I'm not going to do it on your show. I don't want you to get sued. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when a company owner is just letting this crap happen,
yeah,
then they need to be called out. But that also brings up something. Both Kevins have talked about education, talked about training. We don't have that. I mean, companies aren't going to do it and unless they get hit by the FTC. So what can we do as influencers, the attorneys, Tom, myself, what can we do to say, look, here is a guideline. Let's just get this out here for people. How do we start this process?
KG, I'll take that real quick. The question is, how should executives run their businesses? And there's really no scientific way. My experience dealing with a lot of startups, I'm sure KG is the same outlook, is that a lot of folks are good at launching companies. They're not great at running companies. And so a lot of folks, they have, hey, a great product, great software. They stitch together some fulfillment capabilities, merchant processing, and they put some basic pieces together. But when it comes time to actually running a business, a lot of them don't want to do that. And compliance requires an executive that's willing to run a company and hire somebody to do that. And then when you hire people, you have to manage the staff. You have to provide equipment and a space for these folks and an environment. And a lot of people don't do it. And so to answer your question, it takes an executive willing to run a business and place a high priority on compliance and giving compliance personnel the flexibility. A lot of times, I know a couple of folks watching this that are that work in compliance, Michelle Wattner, Andrea Weiland, Donna Marie Saratella.
Yeah,
these folks, they're not given the flexibility to do their jobs.
But
right?
I almost think that's an excuse, and here's why: it's the reps that need the education. It's the reps that are out here making these claims. I agree that companies need to be run better, but if we're not educating reps as they're rolling in here, and I mean, we churn through people, I get that, but it's top level influencers that are saying, I'm making $4 million a month. Look at me, look at my boat, look at my, how do we st- start that process of education from a gatekeeper standpoint. So the regulators actually say, okay, at least the gatekeepers are paying attention and they are trying to get people out there. Because, heck, man, I know a couple of attorneys, if you pay them enough money, they'll launch your crypto business or your Forex business, even though you're probably going to get shut down. So, I mean, yeah. We've got to start somewhere.
Not this one.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
Troy, yeah, my response would be, you know, KT's been talking about a top-down approach to compliance and education. But I think we also need to look at a bottom-up. I think field leaders, you know, rank-and-file distributors need to start getting excited about compliance. You know, when we hear the word compliance, we normally think of just a couple things like, you know, monitoring what the field is doing, correcting what the field is doing, policing, things like that. But there are actually seven different components that go into an effective compliance program. We've talked about several of them. But the one that is almost universally lacking is what you guys have all been talking about, education and training. But there is a resource, and I want to make or address something that Tom said too about just, you know, how, you know, some companies are making all these crazy income claims and others are avoiding that. Obviously that's a problem for everybody. I actually cut a tape series years ago called What to Look For and What to Look Out For in Multi-Level Marketing, because the vast majority of people in this profession do not know how to analyze and do their due diligence. They don't know how to differentiate the illegal from the legal. And then within legitimate network marketing companies, they don't know how to differentiate the average from the exceptional. But, I've been doing compliance work for almost 30 years, and it's always the same issue, different person. And so actually 10 years ago, I was motivated to develop an online distributor compliance training program called MLM Compliance VT, because the companies, and actually most of them don't have the human resources to develop this information, and so they don't. But it's just really not even on their radar screen. And so, you know, and that's something interesting we've seen too. You know, in the FTC versus Herbalife case, Herbalife got an FTC mandated distributor compliance training program crammed down its throat, and this actually started about 10 years ago. Maryland versus Viridian, Maryland versus North America.
Okay, Kevin, hang on. One sec, we got to get out of here, but nobody leave. We're not really leaving. This has been the Network Marketing Leadership Show. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.